Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve.
It's good to be back with you.
It is. Back in our new home, Sunday night at 7:30.
Amen, brother.
So those of you that turned in last night, well, next week, remember, it's Sunday.
Hopefully they're listening. at 7:30 to get that message.
Yeah. But we think this is a better time slot, and we're glad to be on this time slot. And we have been, if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, we've been going through the book of Romans, and actually we started last fall sometime. Then we got interrupted by Advent, Christmas, and the Epiphany.
Yes, we did.
And then we went back and started in Romans chapter 8, which is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Now, you may say that they're all my favorite chapters in the Bible, but I have a particular fondness for Romans chapter 8. And if you've been listening, you'll know why. And if you were listening last week, the show kind of ended with we were around verse 10, 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start with that. And in fact, we're going to, between this show and next Sunday, we're going to finish up Romans chapter 8. And then we'll see what we're going to do from there.
Okay.
After we plan and pray and rehearse.
It's always a mystery.
Yeah, because in the book of Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11 are really exciting. They're about Israel and the Jews coming to faith, and Paul wishing he could bring them all to faith and get the scales out of their eyes. And those are pretty good. Those are pretty good chapters.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot that there's just so much that Paul writes about, and Romans is just so.
Yeah.
There's just so much that he writes about that pertains to obviously our faith.
Yeah.
And just getting people to see and how.
Yeah.
You know, there's the law, there's grace, and how a man is not, you can't be saved by just observance of the law.
Right.
You have to have the grace of Jesus.
Yeah.
The grace of God and believing in Jesus as the Messiah. Yeah.
Is the only way. And we talked about, what most of you probably know of as the Roman road, and we got into, chapter 8, and, Paul points out through this whole book, he talks about the law and he talks about grace and he talks about how the law can't save anybody. The law is good, but we can't follow it. It can't save anybody, but now there's grace. And so we're not going to go back to the law to try to do that stuff. But now we have a new life because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And because now we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have a whole different life now. We have freedom in the Spirit. And we're going to kind of go down through the rest of chapter 8 with that, because in a little while, hopefully we'll get to it, in a little while, he's going to talk about how the Holy Spirit says to our spirit that we're now adopted sons.
Yeah.
And that we cry out, Abba, which is, it kind of finishes his transition from going to the law, and he knew about the law, he was a Pharisee, to now realizing that he can just call God daddy.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different relationship than he had when he was a Pharisee.
Well, the other aspect of it is that Paul really lays out that there's this transformation or transition that takes place between the disciple or the follower of God living. He says, I lived for the law. I died to the law to live for God.
Yes.
That he gave himself over to the law to live for God. But now with the Holy Spirit, it's all by grace.
Yes.
And, we have to remember that the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out upon all mankind until the great feast of Pentecost.
Yes.
And that's really when you see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And there's this whole transition between living in the flesh and living in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you're talking about just what's in Romans, it's just so, there's just so much of that in there.
Yeah.
It's just
Yeah. And then, and as he's going into, you know, we're going to, that kind of like sums up what we did last time. And, you know, Paul was talking about if you belong to Christ, then this Holy Spirit dwells in you. And the Spirit gives life to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he gives us spiritual life, of course.
Yes.
And life to our souls. But he's also going to give life to the body again. Because remember, our bodies are decaying because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the sin of Adam, you know, our bodies are decaying.
Right.
And eventually, unless Jesus comes back first, we're going to die. And our body's going to be put in the ground somewhere. But
that's
at
true.
Some point, there's going to be a glorious resurrection of the body. We're going to have glorified bodies. So the Spirit's even going to, you know, kind of resurrect our bodies into a glorious form.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole, you know, the mankind then is, I guess you could look at it as fully redeemed because we're a body and a soul.
Well, yeah.
We're not,
exactly.
You know, we're not, they're not separate.
Right.
When you're conceived,
mm-hmm.
you're a body and a soul. When you're born, you're a body and a soul. And when you die, the moment you die, you're a body and a soul. Then the soul leaves, your body's still there.
Right.
So it's kind of unnatural.
That you're separate, that those two are separated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look back to the Garden of Eden and creation, Adam walked with God.
Yeah.
And really, shouldn't we walk with God?
Mm-hmm.
Because he created us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really restoring.
Yeah.
Just restoring it to fulfillment.
Exactly.
What he first created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you can look at it as full circle or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But we're going to get back to how things were supposed to be in the first place so that it's all going to be redeemed.
Right.
And, we'll be, you know, in a glorious existence again as a body soul unity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like to think that I'll have hair then, but, you know, we'll have some kind of glorified body. And so Paul's talking about, you know, if the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also dwells in us, he's going to give us life as we go along. You know, Jesus referred mm-hmm. to it, you know, you're going to have rivers of living water in you. You're going to have fountains of eternal life in you, living water in you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Spirit's going to quicken us. And, you know, when Jesus, of course, was the first fruits of that because he died, his body was put into the tomb. And the morning of Easter, of that first Easter, which, interestingly enough, was the Jewish feast of first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And that was no coincidence or no accident that it happened that way.
Didn't catch God by surprise.
Oh, that's right. He was the first fruit. In other words, he comes out of the tomb with his as a glorified body. And he does first what we're going to do later. So he was
right.
The first fruits. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15:20, that he was the first fruits. And then we're also going to do that at some point.
Right.
And, you know, Paul also talks about how our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's in 6:19.
Mm-hmm.
So since our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, they're important.
Very important.
Yeah, we tend to think the flesh is just flesh and the Spirit's what's important. But our bodies were created too, and he says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit.
Well, it takes you back to, I think, understanding that God created everything. And God didn't create anything that was bad. You know, so as he created man, created human beings, he created them with the body that he designed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you say that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself said this when he was talking to the, you know, to the high priest and the religious leaders of his day. And they totally didn't understand it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days it'll be raised up again. And they're thinking that he's talking about the temple that was built by stone,
yeah.
by hands. You know, it was built, you know,
right.
it was a stone temple there in Jerusalem
right.
and built
exactly.
by hands. And it took 40-some years for this to be, you know, erected.
Exactly.
And you're going to raise it up in 3 days? Yeah. I don't think so.
Yes. And they were very sarcastic.
Oh, yeah. Very sarcastic. But the temple, you know, what is a temple? It's where God dwells.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dwelling place for God.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if we understand the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit is the Redeemer, the Sanctifier, then we understand that if Jesus is telling us the Holy Spirit's going to come and be with you and dwell within you, and even Paul, like in Romans 8, says, you know, this, the Spirit gives us the ability to say Abba.
Yes.
And called and say, and then, you know, Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, God is dwelling in us, and he has to sanctify us to be a temple for him. And that's the whole essence of, you know, our bodies being a temple.
Yeah, before we get, do you want to read something, Steve?
Sure.
Before
have
we get
gotten into
this,
the teaching yet?
No. We're going to get, I really get excited about the spirit of adoption thing. So I'm trying to control myself here. But, but before we talk about the adoption thing, can you read, this is Romans 8, of course. Can you read verses 12 and 13 first?
Sure.
And then we'll talk about the adoption.
Okay. Consequently, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. We're not debtors to the flesh. In other words, if the flesh says, hey, I want to eat. Hey, I want to go there. Hey, I want you to, I want to go do this. Hey, we have to say no. Mm-hmm. We don't. We cannot give in to the desires of the flesh.
Right.
We can't live in the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you have to eat once in a while. But, you know, you, we cannot give in. What he's saying is we can't be debtors to the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, we have to take care of our bodies. The, you know, obviously we have to eat. We have to drink water. We have to rest.
Right.
We have to do certain things. And sometimes we may even have to rest for a period of time to kind of, you know, rejuvenate ourselves and pull our heads together is whatever you want to call it. But you have to take care of your body, but we're not to give in to the more carnal desires, to the more base desires.
Yeah, we're not to be mastered by the desires of the flesh.
Right,
yeah.
Because our mind is supposed to be on spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have so great a salvation, you know, like the book of Hebrews says, we have so great a salvation, you know, don't think about all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Because the what we have in salvation just blows the rest of that stuff away anyway.
Right.
But we do have a human, you know, we have a lot of human weaknesses, so that stuff, you know, tends to come out. But he says we have to work in spiritual things. You know, Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, we're bought with a price. You know, we get life because of what Jesus did.
Exactly.
You know, we're bought with a price. So, and he's, and he wrote there in what Stephen just read, you know, if you just satisfy the flesh, you're going to end up in a worse kind of death than your physical death.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in, you know, what Revelation calls the second death.
Exactly.
So through the power of the Spirit that dwells in us, because of what we're going to get to in a second here about the adoption, you know, we're able to live more in the spiritual things than in the carnal things. Because, again, if you go back to the law and if you go back to how people were living, you know, the law was trying to control their carnal desires and their, you know, physical behavior as well as a lot of other things. But now we've been saved through the cross. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so if we live with the Spirit, he's going to kind of not only help us with that, but he's going to kind of help do it for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got to cooperate with God's grace, but it's many times it's, you know, when the Holy Spirit starts working and you just see God moving in your life, you realize that you're prepared to be an instrument that God can use, but it's at God's, you know, really prompting it in his appointed time that things happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I just see that over and over, you know, in my own life, that there's things that happen and it's like all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden something's happening and it's like, well, I was just there, you know, and obviously that was the right place for me to be at. But I didn't make it happen, you know, and so as Paul talks about, you know, there's no boasting about that.
Yeah, we've gone over that a lot. I'll tell you, boy, if there's one thing you want to learn from Paul, it's just no boasting. Yeah, there is definitely no boasting.
There's definitely a need for that. learn about it anyway.
Yeah.
I should say.
Because, in verse 14 of that chapter, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, if the Spirit's leading you and you're following, you're God's son, small s, as opposed to if the Spirit's not in you, you're not listening to the Spirit, and you're going off, 180 degrees away from that, doing your own thing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And doing your own thing doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something horrible or evil or disgusting. It
right.
just means you're not following God.
Right.
If you're following yourself, you just go off and do whatever makes you happy and whatever you think is important.
Right.
But he says if you follow the Spirit, then you're a son of God, small mm-hmm. s.
Yeah. Because the Spirit's going to lead you into the things that God desires you to do.
That's right.
And I know that there's been many people that I've talked to, and I'm sure yourself, where as they testify to how God has moved in their lives,
right.
they will say that, I really had no thought or desire of doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But little by little, their heart was turned towards it.
Yeah.
And they find themselves in a ministry that they never thought about, they never conceived about doing. And you realize it's all by God's grace.
Yes.
It's just,
if somebody would have told me 15 years ago that we were going to be doing a Christian radio show, I would have said, what? Maybe a show where we could talk about rock and roll or something, but not a Christian radio show.
You got that right.
So you don't know where the Spirit's going to lead.
You really don't. You really don't. And you have to be open to the Spirit to allow the Spirit to lead you to where God would want you.
Yes, exactly.
And that's, what you're saying about someone following their own desires or whatever makes them happy. It doesn't mean that they're doing bad things out in the world.
Right.
Obviously, there's some people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're simply raising a family,
right.
and you're working,
work.
You love your wife, you love your children, and you have a good job, and you're doing those things, those are all good things to do.
Sure.
It's when you recognize that God's the
right.
creator.
Right.
And God's at the center of all of this.
Right.
That you will start to maybe see things a little
right.
different.
As I like to say, if you're more concerned about your cholesterol and your IRA than you are about what the Holy Spirit's doing, you may not necessarily be an immoral person, but you're not following.
Right. Right, because those things are all going to pass away.
Yeah. I know pretty soon we'll be doing a break, but before we go to the break, I want Stephen to read the center part of this, which gets me really excited, and that's Romans 8, 15, 16, and 17.
Okay. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That really says it all. This is roughly in the center of the book of Romans, and it's really the center of the good news.
Yeah.
And, we're going to talk a lot more about this, but while we hear Paul Wilbur, he's back. Wow, this is a Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, www.giftofgraceministries.org. And Stephen has been industriously working to put all the radio shows on there so you can hear some of the back shows and also on Facebook. We'll be back in just a minute.
Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wow, before the break, Stephen, when you read that, that's my favorite. So now, you know, there's so many things in this, but let's summarize again in case you've never heard any of these shows, or in case you don't have a clue who St. Paul was, or in case you don't have a clue what the Jewish law was all about. There was nothing in the Jewish law about calling God daddy.
No.
There was nothing in the Jewish law about being an adopted son.
No.
There was nothing in the Jewish law about sharing glory with God and being glorified with him.
Right.
And being heirs with him.
Right.
I mean, that's totally alien.
Yeah.
And here we go. I mean, when you had the law, you had to be very concerned about how you were following that law. So you were very... sort of under the bondage of the law. I mean, maybe bondage isn't a good word, but Paul talks about how they had bondage to the law. Because you had to worry, because if something in the law got away from you, you were already in violation.
Yeah, you were separated.
You were separated. And so you had kind of a, you know, spirit of fear. Some of the fear is good, you know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, it says in the Bible. But this was a different fear of, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't do that right. And there were going to be consequences for this because through the Torah, God says there's going to be consequences if you don't follow the law.
Right.
And there were consequences.
Almost definitely.
Yeah. And so now Paul says we didn't receive a spirit of bondage again.
Right.
Of having fear of, well, if we mess up again, what's going to happen to us? But we got a spirit of adoption. Of adoption. So now the spirit comes into our spirit and we cry out, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, you know, the word Abba, of course, is a Hebrew and Aramaic word for daddy.
Right.
And, you know, this, you don't see this in the Old Testament. You don't see this in the Tanakh. Nobody addresses a prayer to God as daddy.
Right.
But now all of a sudden, Paul says we have a spirit of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? The Spirit bears witness to us that we're children of God.
Yeah.
We're adopted. It's the spirit of adoption. So we're adopted as heirs because if we're his children, we're also his heirs.
Right.
Just like your children are your heirs. And if you die and you have four children, your estate and all your stuff is divided up among the four children. And no matter right. what it is, your children get what was yours when you were still alive.
Right.
That's kind of generally accepted law everywhere now.
Right.
In the old days, of course, the firstborn son got everything, and mm-hmm. that's not usually done anymore. But basically, somebody got your stuff when you died.
Mm-hmm.
They were your heirs. So what Paul's saying here is because we're adopted sons and daughters, we're heirs to what God has.
Right.
And because we're adopted, that means we're not really his, you know, true sons and daughters in the sense of what we would say is a biological child.
Right.
Jesus is the true son.
Right.
He's the real son. He's the only begotten, is the Greek monogenes, is the only begotten.
Right.
So he's the true son. Paul says we're adopted sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because if your parents both die and you are their biological son and you have a brother named Bob who they adopted
mm-hmm.
and the will says Stephen and Bob divide everything, you know, Bob's not their biological child, but he inherits the same thing that you inherit.
Yeah.
So what Paul's saying is if we, since we're adopted children, we're heirs so that we inherit what the true son inherits.
Right.
And what does the true son inherit? The true son is Jesus, who sits on the throne of David and is forever king of the universe
mm-hmm.
and has all the honor and glory and power.
Yeah.
We're co-heirs to that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty exciting.
It's you know, it's more than exciting. I mean, it's, you know, if you think back to when Moses was on Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
Here, or even when he was in the wilderness
yeah.
tending sheep, you know, he sees this burning bush and he hears this voice. And he approaches and God says, you know, come no closer, mm-hmm. take off your sandals. But then as he starts talking to God, he wanted to see God's face.
Mm-hmm.
God said, you can't see my face.
Exactly.
Because you would see God's glory revealed and it would be too much.
Exactly.
He would die. And now, through Christ, we can approach the Father with boldness through the blood of Christ, because that's what purchased us.
That's right.
Into adoption.
Yes. This is our whole new thing.
And, you know, it is such a drastic, radical transformation mm-hmm. from, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, everybody who was Jewish, they understood Moses.
Right.
That he couldn't see God's face. They
right.
understood the law, as you're saying.
Right.
They understood the prophets, and to have this concept that they can now
mm-hmm.
turn to God and say, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just
whole different paradigm.
You know, we have 2,000 years of church history
yes.
of understanding this.
And we can look back at it.
But to be in that situation and for that to be all that you know.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden people are saying, hey, there's good news.
Yeah,
the Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to be able to call God Daddy.
Yeah. This is really good news.
Yes.
This is really good
and
news.
And now you're an heir to the kingdom. And it, you know, as you're talking about how if you have, you know, somebody has two sons and one's adopted and when the parent dies, their mm-hmm. inheritance goes to the two sons. Well, with God, it doesn't diminish what God has.
That's right.
You know, that's the thing, because God's
right.
eternal.
Right.
We can't exhaust the riches of God.
Right.
And if, you know, if everybody gets a little piece of their inheritance,
mm-hmm. it'll still be awesome.
It'll still be awesome, but we can't think that God's somehow going to be empty.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's not the case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you bring up a good point, too, about how when you look back at Moses in the wilderness, you know, God gave very specific instructions on how to build the tent, how to build all the articles, how to build all the vestments, how to make all the stuff.
Yeah.
And one thing there always was a veil.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because the veil separated the holy things from the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people weren't holy.
Right.
And, you know, God was behind the veil, so to speak,
yeah.
in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
And the high priest went in once a year
mm-hmm.
with the blood. I mean, this
right.
is all, you know, we're not going to go through the whole Torah, but you know that he goes in with the animal blood to make atonement for sin.
Right.
In the Holy of Holies. He's the only one who can go in there.
Yeah. But if you don't understand the Old Testament, you don't understand that, I think you miss a whole lot.
Exactly.
It's not, not that I think, I know you miss a whole lot of understanding the holiness of God.
Right.
And the sacrifice that Jesus made, but also what was brought to us or won for us through his blood.
Exactly. And that's why on Good Friday, when the veil's torn in the temple, the scripture takes great pains to explain that to us, how it was torn from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Then later the writer of the Hebrews says, well, the veil's torn now, so we can just approach boldly. Mm-hmm. We can just go into the Holy of Holies and say, hi, Daddy, here I am. Whereas before, you would have been struck dead.
Yeah.
Because you weren't holy enough to go in there. And so we don't have to be afraid. You know, there is no separation. The veil's been done away with.
Yeah.
And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 15 and 16, Paul writes that the Jewish people of his time who did not believe in Yeshua, Jesus as their Messiah, still had veils over their hearts when they read the scripture, which is a really amazing way to put it.
Yeah.
They still had that separation.
Yeah.
And now he was liberated from that, and he's an adopted son now. And interestingly, you know, the sort of another way I was looking at this the other night was when we had the bondage to the law, and Paul mentions it earlier, that drives you to the cross. Because when you break down and you sin and you fall and you can't follow the law, I mean, whether you're talking about the Torah law, whether you're talking about, you know, the moral laws that we have, the Ten Commandments, you know, all the moral type law, and you realize you've really made a total failure of this, that drives you to the cross.
Yeah.
Because now you see what you really are, and you see how you need atonement to be made for your violation of the law.
Yeah.
So the law sends you to the cross. So basically, the law sends you to Christ.
Yeah.
Then the Spirit comes, and the Spirit of adoption sends you to the Father.
Right.
So this is really cool. You have this Trinitarian plan always going on.
Yeah.
Of the cross. You know, Jesus goes to the right hand of the Father. The Spirit comes and says, hey, you're adopted sons. You can say daddy. So, you know, it's all, you know, the three persons in the Godhead are, of course, always working in harmony in the whole plan of salvation.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It's really awesome. It's, you know, as you're saying that, how we're brought back into this relationship with God, and God's the Father, there's... Where before there was no relation. Well, there, you know, you were in a relationship with God because you observed the law or tried to observe the law. But it, as you're saying, it brings you to a place of knowing that, as it did in my life, Lord, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to live on my own.
Yeah.
I need your help.
Yeah.
I need your grace. And when I turn to God and do that, you know, God hears my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He's there to, you know, he's there to answer me.
Yeah.
And in the Liturgy of the Hours, there's a prayer that begins in the evening prayer that says, Lord, come to my assistance, or God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me.
Mm.
And when I pray that, I always think of how, you know, God doesn't leave us abandoned.
Right.
He always hears our prayer, and he's going to be there to help us.
Yeah.
You know, in our time of need.
That's why I love this passage.
Yeah.
Because when you read this passage that you read and that we've been talking about now, you should always feel great.
Oh, yeah.
Even when things are going bad, even when you've made a total mess of your life, you should still feel good because, man, you can go back to daddy and be restored.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a, you know, this is why it's called the good news.
That's right.
Of self,
you know. If you're not in Christ, if you're not following the Spirit, then you're kind of left out there on your own with all the stuff you've done.
Yeah.
Which isn't going to be very good. So instead of that, we're joint heirs with Christ, and where it says we're going to be glorified together.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't purchase our salvation.
No.
And we didn't do anything so overwhelmingly awesome that God said, well, I guess I have to save him because look what he just did. You know, none of us are in that boat.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't earned it. We didn't purchase it for ourselves.
Right.
We didn't go someplace and say, look, Lord, do you remember when, do you remember 2 weeks ago what I did? That awesome thing. So now I'm sure that I've amassed enough points where even if I screw up from now on, I should be in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we didn't purchase it. We didn't earn it. We're heirs to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a rich guy dies and he may have a couple of sons that never did a day's work in their life. They get all the money that he earned.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus earns our salvation and we're heirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're kind of like the Levites, you know, the tribe of Levi. God said, you guys aren't going to get land when you get to Canaan. When you get to the promised land, you guys don't get land because I'm your inheritance. You know, you're serving me. Right. I'm your inheritance.
Right.
You know, he's our inheritance, even though we don't do anything that really merits us to get that. And that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even Jesus talks about how, you know, he says to his father, you know, these guys you gave me, you know, protect them and I want to bring them with me. I want them to be where I am.
In John 17, yeah.
Right. You're going to be where I am, John 17. And, you know, we're going to be with him beholding his glory. We're going to be co-heirs to that. And in fact, in Revelations 3:21, it says, those that overcame sit on the throne with him.
Yeah.
So, man, it's just amazing. So, you know, because Jesus as, you know, Savior, as our Savior, he has the love for the Father of the true Son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was willing to do the act of salvation. We're accepted because of him. We have confidence because of mm-hmm. that and because of the Spirit's dwelling in us.
Right.
And we know that we're going to be delivered from this life into something a lot cooler. Plus now we can call God the Father Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus in Mark 14:36, which is in the Garden of Gethsemane, says, Abba Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read an interesting commentary the other night I never thought about before, but Abba is the Aramaic and Hebrew word for daddy.
Right.
And then in the Greek translation, the next word is pater, which is the Greek and then Latin form of father. Papa. Jesus says Abba, Father. He's actually saying, you know, Hebrews and Gentiles, you know, representing both,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be under the Father.
Yeah.
And I never thought about that before, but I thought that was pretty cool.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
And so the Spirit tells our spirit, it's daddy now.
Yeah.
So no more fear.
Yeah. It's truly an amazing gift that we have. And you know, if you're listening and you haven't received Jesus as your Messiah,
amen,
as a Savior and you're, maybe you've never heard the gospel before,
mm-hmm.
but this is what he's done for you. I mean, by his blood, he has purchased you at the price of his own blood because it's not because of anything you did,
mm-hmm.
not because of anything any of us did,
mm-hmm.
but because of his great love for each and every one of us, that he gave himself willingly to purchase us for the Father,
mm-hmm.
that we would dwell with him, and the Spirit would dwell within us and lead us back to the Father. Yeah.
And these are sure promises. You know, God makes eternal promises that mm-hmm. are always in effect.
Right.
He doesn't change his mind.
They don't fade away.
He's not going to decide next week there's going to be a different way of salvation.
Well, yeah, that's why
these are true.
Yeah, that's why Jesus says, you know, why do you store up for yourselves things that are going to, you know, decay and rot away? Store up things in heaven.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul in that passage says, you know, we may have to suffer while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clear. Even Jesus said, you know, you're going to have tribulation in this life.
Right.
We all know. Most of us, I'm sure everybody who's listening has had some kind of tribulation. And there may be worse tribulation. You know, we may have to suffer a little bit, but Paul says, compared to the glory that's coming, that's going to be nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It looks really bad to us now, but wow, when you're in glory, the tribulation you had in 2012 on earth, that's going to seem like nothing.
Right.
So that's, I mean, these are sure promises.
Eternal promises.
Yes, exactly. And it all goes back to this plan of salvation that we've been talking about since this show started and how it all unfolds through the scripture. This is as far as I'm concerned, this is the center of it. I mean, when you start with Adam and Eve and you go through the Torah and you go through the prophets and you get to Messiah and he does this awesome act and then Paul describes what he did and how that impacts us.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's truly awesome.
I think we're coming up on another break.
Ooh.
Ooh, I hear Paul.
This is another Paul.
Yeah.
another very important Paul.
Yes. Anyway, we will be back in a minute on the Gift of Grace. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org and on Facebook. We'll be right back.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word. listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, we only have a few minutes left, and we got a couple of really important things to cover here. So I'm going to see if I like when Stephen reads the scripture, so I'm going to make him read it whether he likes it or not. Do you want to read?
I most certainly will.
Yeah, do you want to read 19 through 22?
Sure. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God.
Hmm.
Did you want me to go on the 22?
Yeah, go read another
okay.
One.
We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies.
Hmm. That's awesome. See, we have to go back. Everything always goes back to the garden, you know, back to the Garden of Eden. Because when Adam and Eve fell, all of creation was cursed.
Yeah.
When man fell, including all the creatures, the earth itself.
Yep.
Outer space. The whole universe,
everything.
All the atoms and molecules that are in your, you know, paper towel or whatever it is, everything is cursed.
If you think about it, everything decays.
Everything decays. You everything know? Is in disorder.
Yeah.
And this happened because of the fall of man.
Yeah.
So creation's also in a bondage, mm-hmm. just like we were in a bondage to sin, then we were in a bondage to law. All of creation is still in this bondage.
Right.
Because sin, human sin... You know, a rock can't really sin, but even a rock is subject to the problems of human sin.
Mm-hmm.
The whole creation is a burden to it. But eventually the world's going to be renewed.
Right.
The earth is going to be renewed. You know, the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so man is going to be restored.
Right.
We're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to be restored. So these are like the sons of God being revealed that he's talking mm-hmm. about. And this exactly. curse that's over everything is going to be gone.
Yeah.
So all of creation is groaning, looking for this.
Yeah.
I think there's a Paul Wilbur song that has that in there. I'm trying to think of what it is. But it's like all creation's groaning because it wants to get to that place.
Even so.
All creation wants to get cries. To that place. And, you know, we're also groaning within ourselves because we want to be out of this. I mean, we like it. I love my life and I love everything around and
you do?
Yes, I do. And I love being out in nature and stuff, but I'd rather be in heaven.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'd rather be at Starbucks with St. Paul and kind of hang out.
And the coffee would be great.
The coffee would be great. The streets going up to the Starbucks would be paved with gold.
Cups would be gold.
You know,
everything.
Our bodies are going to be redeemed. The whole creation is going to be restored to what it was supposed to be. And the whole creation, including us, we're kind of like groaning for that.
Yeah.
So that's it sounds like a futility thing, but it is kind of because there's a curse over everything.
Yeah.
That's going to be removed.
Yeah. It's, you know, like a woman in labor, you're anticipating the birth.
Yeah.
And the coming of the child. But here you're anticipating, we're eagerly awaiting the fulfillment of what God has planned.
Yeah.
And in Jesus coming and redeeming, or not redeeming, but renewing the face of the earth mm-hmm. when he returns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the song that you're alluding to was Even So. And, you know, it says, all creation cries
yes.
for the returning of our King.
Yeah.
Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And that's an awesome song and it embodies what you're talking about here. But it is that, you know, where Paul says in 22, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now.
Mm.
You know, just yearning,
yeah.
desiring, you know, come Lord.
Yeah.
You know, come Lord and restore your creation to its fullness.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, Paul lived for the law and he's transformed
mm-hmm.
on the road to Damascus,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's really a stark contrast between when he was persecuting the first believers and rounding them up, mm-hmm. and even stood there when Stephen was stoned.
Yeah.
To he's talking about God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just such a transformation.
The apostle of grace.
It's such a transformation. I mean, if you know, it's really necessary to understand who you're talking about, in this case, Paul, and really understand who he was, how he was, you know, schooled.
Yeah.
And what he believed.
Yeah.
And then what happened. Just this transforming grace of the Holy Spirit that just came upon him. And he was God's chosen instrument to go to the, you know, to go to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles.
Yeah. Yeah. And he sure went to both. The Jews didn't always treat him well.
They didn't always open the door for him and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe a little bit worse than that, but.
But this, you know, I think a while ago, Stephen, you really said something important is, you know, there may be people listening that just don't have a clue what we're talking about and mm-hmm. are going around, you know, through the creation, you know, messed up, going the wrong direction, groaning, wondering what does this life mean? What does any of this mean?
Yeah.
You know, should I just have a drink and take some more drugs and do whatever I feel like doing to make myself feel better?
Right.
And, you know, we just want to point out that here in God's word is the remedy of all that.
Exactly.
And he is the remedy. You don't have to do anything except to come.
Yeah.
And repent, turn to him, and be willing to follow him and where the Spirit leads you.
Exactly.
And your life will be radically different.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen and I are sitting here. We're examples of people's lives that are radically different. And like I say, you know, if you'd have told me 15 years ago what I was going to be doing now,
yeah,
I would have said you were crazy, but I would have used worse words. Because
that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And, you know, this is, you know, nothing is beyond redemption.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no sin that God can't forgive.
Amen.
Because the blood of Christ washed it all away.
Amen. Infinite value. And you're going to be glorified with him if you turn to him.
Yeah. You have to ask him into your heart.
That's the good news. Wow, the show's already over. Wow. Well, we're going to be back next week, and we're going to finish chapter 8.
Maybe.
Maybe. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day today.
Yes.
And stay tuned next week for the next installment of chapter 8.
Have a good week, everyone. God bless.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.